Really good to see everyone here this morning. We have a good crowd. We appreciate your presence very, very much. We also welcome those who are live streaming, those in the parking lot. We're really glad to see each of you here with us today. We have this year been talking a number of times about the challenge of being a Christian. One of the first lessons we talked about was having courage. And courage really has to do with doing what's right, even when we're scared. Or when it's hard. Or when it's outside of our comfort zone. We also talked about the idea of growing our faith and how important it is to get stronger each day. Allowing God's love to change us. It is John who said, perfect love casts out fear. And all of us are, as Christians, trying to increase our love so that we don't fear. Trusting in the Lord. Showing God our great gratitude for all that He has done for us. This is the end of the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. And we have been thankful, hopefully, to God for all that He has given us. Not just for the turkey and the dressing and the cranberry sauce, especially the cranberry sauce, I like that. To be thankful to God for all things. And it's important that we always show gratitude. And then we even talked about enduring to the end. Keeping on, keeping on, hanging in there the best that we can. When we consider the idea of challenges, probably no greater challenge that faces us than that in regards to change. How well do you handle change? Do you love it? Well, the greatest change, I guess, that ever happened in my life was when I got married. And I must say, I was young enough that I wasn't scared. But after I was married about 6 months, I got scared. Marriage really was a big, big, big change. And it's still changing. But I love it. I love the change that marriage has done for me. Maybe change, you've hated it. When my mother died, I still hate that. And that changed my life a lot. You've probably lost somebody too. And that change hurts. Maybe even fear it. Getting old is not for sissies. I am learning. I fear Medicare and so forth. But life has its changes. So dealing with change, I believe, is a challenge for being a Christian. So this morning I want to talk a little bit about that. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 46, and we're going to begin our study from that particular text. Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change. And though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. If you are a student of history, geography, society, etc., you know that our life on this planet has gone through tremendous changes. If in your lifetime you lived in Zimbabwe, you would have lived in a country that just a few years ago was the heart or the food basket of Africa. You had jobs. You had freedoms. It was very prosperous. And now, drought, famine, a new regime, people starving to death, 90 plus unemployment. And thousands of Christians in that place. What if you were in Zimbabwe? People continue to ask, you know, are we going to have to support those people forever? Maybe. Or maybe just until things change again and Zimbabwe becomes like America and America becomes like Zimbabwe and the Zimbabweans will be sending food to us. Things change. Don't you ever think that it can't. Maybe we should think about what if we lived in Venezuela. Just in the last few years, a very wealthy, prosperous country. Now, look at Venezuela. Nobody wants to move to Venezuela. Nobody wants to move to Zimbabwe either. Could it be that nobody wants to move to America one day? You see, things change. But God is still God. He is still the ruler of all things. He is still on His throne regardless of how this whole world changes. So dealing with change can be frightening. It can be really frightening. Just like in the days of Noah, we read in the scripture where the world was so wicked, that had to be frightening for Noah and his family, who was a righteous family. And they lived and surrounded by wickedness. And God says to him in verse 13, He says, Noah, I'm going to destroy every living thing. That had to be scary. The apocalypse. The end of the world. That had to be frightening for Noah and his family. Every single person that Noah knew outside of his immediate family died. There was a time in this pandemic when we were asking questions. Do we even know anybody that had this virus? Is it real? Now, all these months later, everybody knows somebody and it's in your family that's had it. And there's been deaths too. You know, things change. Things change. And it can be frightening. But it can be a blessing. How could you get a blessing out of an apocalypse of the end of the world in Noah's day? Well, when you read in Genesis 7, 8, and 9, you find that Noah and his family survived. And they came out of the ark. And they were so happy they survived, even though, again, I emphasize, every single living soul that they knew outside of those eight people died. They worshiped God. They praised God. And everything changed. You know where they used to live? That was washed away. The landscape had to have completely changed. They may not even knew where they were at. But they worshiped God, and then God gave them a promise that He would never, ever again destroy the earth by flood. There were some great blessings. It came as a result of such a terrible change. Changes can bring seemingly unsolvable problems. Things can happen of our lives and we can just say, I just don't have any idea how we're going to get out of this. I don't have any idea how we're going to solve this. I don't have any idea. I remember a number of times early on in my wife and I's marriage. We were both in college. We were struggling just to pay our $42.50 rent in our little trailer that we were living in. And that $42.50 came due every month. And we thought, how in the world are we going to pay for this? $42.50 rent to live in a trailer about the size of one of these front pews. It was a little bit bigger than that. Barely. And there were times we just didn't see any way out. We still had more college. We still had a growing debt. We weren't making much money. Here we are. Here we are. And our rent is higher than $42.50. By a long shot. We survived. But Israel leaving Egypt is much like many of us are. We don't want change. We don't like change. And while Israel cried out to God in bondage, and God heard their cry, He sent them a Savior, Moses. Moses went, and through the plagues and so forth and so on, the people began to say, no, 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 we don't want to leave. It'd be better for us to remain slaves. Because as the plagues came, you know, things got worse. The Egyptians started bearing down harder and harder and harder and harder on the Israelites. And they said, whoa, wait a minute, time out. We don't want a Savior. Let's just stay here. And then they're out by the Red Sea, and the Pharaoh and his army is behind them. And this is what they say to Moses. They say to Moses in Exodus chapter 13, they say, didn't we tell you that we should have just stayed in Egypt? Didn't we tell you we don't want to go? And here is a classic case of major change in people's lives, and they can't see past the end of their nose. They can't see that this actually is not an unsolvable problem. With God, all problems are solvable. With God, all things can be better. We just lack the trust and the confidence in God. And the same was true with Israel. Who would have thought that this man would have raised up a big stick and the Red Sea would just divide, and they would walk across on dry land. And when Pharaoh and his army goes across, the waters recede and the army is destroyed. Who was thinking that one? Nobody. You know why? Because we don't think that way. Because that's God's kind of thinking. You know, change can open our eyes to God's power and presence. Man, if we had it good in the United States. And I'm not talking about, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, and I'm not preaching gloom and doom that it's all going down the tubes this any day. But it could. Will it? I don't know. Is it going to get better? Maybe. Is it going to get worse? Maybe. But it doesn't change who God is. And brothers and sisters in Christ, we must face the challenge that it does not change us. Who we are and what we believe in. Daniel, when he was living in Jerusalem, he was living in the palace. He's royalty. Nebuchadnezzar comes, takes him away as a prisoner to Babylon, a faraway country. You're talking about change? There was great change in Daniel's life. And while he's there, he starts to be educated in all of the Babylonian ways and wisdom and knowledge. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. Daniel's called upon to interpret it. Daniel says to his three friends, we need to pray to God about this. And they prayed to God about it. God gave the vision's interpretation to Daniel. In chapter 2, beginning verse 17, we see Daniel praising God and thanking Him because of His great power. Do you know how much had changed in Daniel's life? Daniel didn't pray, "Please let us go back the way it used to be." I've prayed that prayer too, brethren. It just might be that we're beyond going back to the way it used to be. Now what? Now what? The regime changed again. But God places Daniel in a very high position. His comrades become very jealous of him. Wind up throwing him in a lion's den. That's a bad day. And yet it is God who comes out of nowhere, so to speak, sends his angel, keeps the lions from devouring Daniel. Who saw that coming? In Psalms 107, this is but one example of great passages of Scripture that nearly 2,000 years ago, when written, speak just as strongly to us today as it did then. Because if you go back and you study history, there have been places that prospered that are now deserts. There are places in this world that have been deserts that are now prosperous. There have been countries that have risen. There have been countries that have fallen. Have you ever thought about what the deal is with all of those people in Central America, Mexico, Central America, and even in South America? What happened to all the Incas and the Aztecs? They just seem to disappear. They don't know what happened to them. Change. And God's in control. That could be the United States. What now? In Psalms 107, verse 23, I won't read all of this text, but notice the language. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He spoke and raised up stormy wind, which lifted up waves of the sea. They rose up to the heavens. They went down to the depths. Scotty and I were on a ship. Wasn't too calm, just a little rock and roll. Poor old Scotty got sick. I took my drugs. I was good. But that was nothing compared to what you see on TV, these dudes that fish in these places for lobster or crab and all that stuff, and the waves are like 80 foot tall or something or other, and those boats are just going like this, and these guys standing out there in those yellow suits and trying to catch a lobster or crab or shrimp or something. Are you kidding me? Those people have seen the great and awesome power and presence of God. He came with just his little finger, stir it up, big time. And he came with just the very breath of his mouth, make it calm. You remember reading about that somewhere in the Bible? And yet the psalmist talks about that. In verse 33, he says, "He changes rivers into a wilderness, and springs of water into a thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt waste." If you've ever done much study at all in regards to climate and geology and geography and all that sort of thing, you know, there's some evidences that, you know, Antarctica used to be a paradise. Wow. What if things continue to change? Is there climate change? Absolutely. Does exhaust pipes affect that? Probably. Are we going to keep it from happening? No. Is it going to change? Yeah. The North Pole may be in Nashville, Tennessee next year. I don't know. Things can happen. Things change. And it might not be able There may not be a single solitary thing that you could ever do about it. Except maybe pray. And prayer changes things. Moses, the children of Israel were wicked. They wouldn't follow God. They griped and complained. And God said to Moses, I'm just going to destroy all of them and I'll raise up me a people from you. And Moses says, please. He prayed to God, please don't do that. God changed his mind, didn't destroy the people. If you had been an Israelite and one of the ones that's griping, you certainly would have thanked Moses for praying and saving your neck. Surely. Hezekiah, he was in trouble. God said, you're going to die. Get your house in order. Hezekiah was so upset, he went to the temple and he prostrated himself and he prayed to God. And God added 15 years to his life. Don't ever, ever, ever tell a man of faith prayer doesn't work. Have you been praying about this pandemic? You been praying about all of this? What you been praying about? We pray, God do it this way. God do it that way. God's going to do what's best. But prayer can change things. Elijah prayed it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Then he prayed and then it rained a flood. One obscure passage I'd like to demonstrate with you in the book of Amos, just as another example. In the book of Amos, chapter 7, this particular prophet, we've not talked about Amos. I'm not sure that we've ever talked about him. But in Amos chapter 7, Amos is a prophet during the end of the northern kingdom of Israel, the 750s AD, or BC, excuse me, BC. And God shows Amos, who is a prophet, what's going to happen to the children of Israel. And in verses 1 through 6, there's two things that are going to happen. One is, God's going to send this locust swarm. And then two, He's going to send this fire that comes from the great deep. And in both cases, when God reveals to Amos what is going to happen, Amos prays to God and begs God not to do that because Jacob is so small, they can't handle it. It'll kill them. And God both times changed his mind and said, I won't do that. There are many examples in Scripture, brethren, about praying, changing things. Pray, God changes things. But be prepared for how God changes things. Did you pray a lot about the election? Me too. God changes things. The way I like it, the way you like it, maybe not. But just maybe God knows what He's doing. Just maybe God knows what He's doing. Maybe He's doing things that we at first say, oh no, no way. That's not what I ask you to do, Lord. Please, not that way. And come to find out, God divides the Red Sea, and we go through, everything's great, and God destroys our enemies. Oh, that's just a story. Yeah, it's just a story, which happens to be true. And it represents God's great and awesome power and His presence. Our actions change things too. Jeremiah teaches us that. Now Jeremiah, he was a contemporary with the destruction of the southern kingdom. And he speaks concerning what God has been trying to say to His people for the longest time. In Jeremiah 26 and verse 12, the text says, Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and to all the people saying, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that you have heard. Now therefore, amend your ways and your deeds and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will change his mind about the misfortune which he has pronounced against you." Just a wild shot in the dark here, okay? I just put my hand on my eyes. Bam, shoot in the dark, okay? Here it goes. What if this pandemic, which has affected the whole world, so it's not a political thing, it's a world thing. What if God is saying, "You better repent and straighten up, or this could get worse"? Just what if? What if everybody in the whole world did a Nineveh thing when Jonah went and preached to it? And everybody from the king on down repented in sackcloth and ashes. What if the whole world repented in sackcloth and ashes? You say, "Preacher, you're dreaming. That ain't never going to happen." Really? You don't think God can get our attention? Maybe. Maybe not. Would that change anything? Do you think God would be affected? Do you think God might change his mind about things if the whole world repented in sackcloth and ashes and praised God? As people of faith, you've got to at least pray and hope about that. Wouldn't that be a great change? You know, God is in control. Our world seems out of control. Our country seems out of control. Our political system, our whatever you want to talk about, it's out of control. It's cattywampus. It's upside down. It's boogered up. Anybody got any other adjectives here? We all agree, right? I can't change any of those things that I know. There's not a thing I can do to change any of that. But I know the one that can. That's the one that I challenge each of us today. Here's the real challenge of being a Christian. We need to wait on the Lord. Here's some passages I want you to really stop and consider. Some beautiful passages. What do they say? Wait on the Lord. What does that mean? Trust in the Lord. In His time. He does it His way. Isaiah said it this way: "My thoughts are not your thoughts," God says. "My ways are not your ways. It ain't the way I'd have done it. But I ain't God. Neither are you." So we're in this world that God has created and that He rules over. He sets up rulers, He takes down rulers. He sets up kingdoms, He takes down kingdoms. He causes the sun to shine and He causes the sun to set. He is God. I am not. So really the only sensible, logical choice I have is trust in that God, believe in that God, wait on that God, and allow Him to do what He always does. And that is what's best. He always does what's best. Because He's God. It will be just. It will be righteous. There's no guarantee that I will like it. There's no guarantee that it's what I've asked about or prayed about. But one thing is for sure. If you and I live another 5 minutes, things are going to change again. They will continue to change. I cooked breakfast today. I went to McDonald's, cooked up a good breakfast, brought it home. And on the way home, I was listening to financial advice. And the financial advisor said, what we're doing right now, we're encouraging people with their finances in regards to the next pandemic, the next virus. We've had several viruses in the last little bit. This one happened to be the big one. And he's talking about preparing people financially for the next one. I nearly drove off the road and I thought, man, that is not what I'm praying about. I'm praying that this is done. This is over. This is done. Then he started talking about the 1600s. He didn't say the stock market crashed, but he said basically the stock market crashed in Holland. In the 1600s, tulips became so valued by the world that a tulip bulb just went out of this world in price. And it got higher and higher and higher and higher. And Holland just made bukus of money. And then who knows what happened, but all of a sudden somebody opened up the bottom door and the bottom fell out of it. And bukus of it in the 1600s, the world lost its shirt and its coat and its shoes because everybody had invested in tulips. I never heard that story before. I took my one class of economics and they didn't mention that. Did you hear about that story before? Just out of curiosity, anybody ever heard that story before? Anybody? Have you heard that story? Awesome. And you know what the guy said? We still got tulips today. And Holland's still around. Because things continue to change. And I thought, wow, that might be a good point to sermon. I don't know what your 401k is going to do. I don't know if Birdwell is even going to have a business next year. We may be looking for a new person to fix our air conditioner. We don't want that. We don't wish that. We wouldn't pray that or think that. But could it happen? So what do we do as Christians? The challenge of being a child of God is this. We need to face the challenge to learn how to deal with change. My faith in God must never change, regardless of what changes. My fear is we've all probably had about all we can take of this virus, and we're about to just lose it. And we're just about to go off on somebody if they just stand in line and wait a minute. It's going to happen. So here's a challenge, brethren. Dealing with change. Have you gotten to the point you can't take it anymore? Are you at the point in your faith in God that you can do it too? You can do this. You can survive this. Well, that's what I come to tell you today. I hope and I pray that you'll think seriously about changes in your life. Some changes are great blessings, brethren. Some changes hurt real bad for a long time. It's been 20 years since I lost my mother. Many of you have lost your mothers. and it still hurts. Change. So if you're not a Christian, nothing has changed in regards to sin being bad, sin causing you to lose your soul. Nothing's changed in regards to Jesus dying for your sins and loves you and wants you to be saved. Nothing's changed. For I, the Lord, do not change. If you're a child of God and you've lost your faith, you've lost your courage to stand and to obey God and to do His will, I'm fearful that that's happened to a lot of us. We failed the challenge of being able to handle change. We must not be fearful, although we are. We must be more trusting, and I pray that you will, in a God who's in control. If we can help in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?